Blog Talk Radio.
Music. I love it. So enthusiastic. I appreciate it.
Rock and roll.
Good night, folks. Welcome to another episode of Obey the Puck. I am Dan Colachico. You are Kelly.
Yes, I am.
Okay, good.
I was working on having like a radio or podcasting name.
What would it be?
I was recommended on a cooking board I'm part of. Angry Spatula. So, Kelly?
Kelly, the Angry Spatula?
No, just...
We'll go with Levy.
Just the Angry Spatula.
The Angry Spatula.
I kind of like it.
What would my cooking name be?
I don't know.
The Red Hot Toaster.
Preheated Oven.
The Preheated Oven. The Easy Bake Oven. Not quite big enough to be an oven.
Easy Bake Oven.
Oh, boy. That's good to start off with. We're going to be talking about some varied NHL news. We're going to talk specifically about the marketing on Wednesday nights and taking advantage of that. We're not going over the whole darn list. We're going to review the top 50 fights in hockey history, not just NHL history, although they're mostly NHL fights.
According to Sports Illustrated?
SportsIllustrated.com. I was going to get to that. I'm glad you mentioned it.
I was wondering where it came from.
SI.com. It's posted on the message board. By the way, and before that, we're also going to talk about Reading Royals and some other news that you wanted to hit. By the way, if you want to read the article before we talk about it later in the show, go to Facebook.com/group/ObeyThePuck. You can follow us on Twitter at Obey Puck Show or email us at obeypuckshow@comcast.net. You can also, if you want to call in and join and talk to us, you call 718-664-9133. That is 718-664-9133. And as long as you have something interesting to say, I'll let you stay on the line. And that's that. So, anywho, I want to talk about this first. I haven't seen it yet. But Kadri's hit on Backstrom. What's his first? It's Nicholas Backstrom.
Nicholas Backstrom.
The other Nicholas Backstrom.
Yeah.
Of the Minnesota Wild, and he nailed him. And I haven't seen this hit yet, but do you feel that this was a... do you think 3 games was enough for the suspension, first of all?
Yeah, I think it was enough. I don't think he's a repeat offender, so... I think 3 games was fair. It was pretty blatant.
I was going to say, now, was this he just didn't stop in time, or was this, I'm going to charge and I'm going to nail Backstrom?
He just was going through the crease and had
so it wasn't like he was aiming for him.
He seemed to be aiming for him.
There's a difference between going through the crease and aiming for him, though.
Well, take a look at the clip.
I want to... tweet it for everybody to see it so they can see that there. Now, I'm going to watch this live. So, that's a nice NHL logo. I'm going to try to do this live. So, they're in the defensive zone. He's come. Ooh. I don't know. See, that doesn't look like he was aiming for him, though. It just looks like that's the way he was going. I mean, he's not even looking at him. He's looking at the player with the puck. He skates towards he's looking at him now. Well, he certainly didn't do anything to stop, if that's what you mean. Oh, man. Was he out in the game? How long is Backstrom out?
He left. I don't know if...
Oh!
I don't know if he's been back since. I know Harding went in to the game right after that happened. I'm not sure.
You could kill a man doing that. Now, mind you, obviously, I think the three games was for the fact that he didn't try to kill him on purpose, obviously.
I think it was more that it was a first offense.
Oh. Yeah, but you get what I'm trying to say, though? Like, there's a difference between ramming a guy on purpose, like, here I come, one, two, three. And then this is just turning on, oh, shit.
It wasn't turning. He turned well before. He knew exactly where.
Have you ever
going.
Skated on ice skates before?
No.
All right. I'm just asking. You know.
Watch the whole thing, though.
I'm watching the whole thing. I mean, see, what I'm looking at is his feet to see if he tries to stop. And there's no brakes, there's no stopping motion, there's no, there's just collision. I posted it on Twitter, twitter.com/obeypuckshow. Tell me what you think. The more I look at it is where I'm getting the idea, maybe he didn't try to stop. Because, you know, first of all, he got in it. Did he get jumped by anybody after? Because I haven't seen the play after.
Yeah, I think some of the wild guys went after him.
Goaltender interference, and they're saying right here it was interference, but there was no history, and he's not a guy that does it often, so I guess that's why they get in the three games.
He does kind of strike me as kind of a uppity player.
He's not what? Yeah.
That was my point.
Oh, I thought that was more to it. He doesn't seem the same, like, Princess Fnuff, as they call him.
You're going to go with John Scott's word on
I know.
Fnuff.
I just liked it, though.
Really?
If I hate Fnuff. It's like Ty Domi version 2, only he skates faster slightly.
No, he's nothing like Ty Domi.
Well, he's not a bitch.
No.
Oh, I said that. Listen, all right, he was a bit of a bitch.
Everyone who's not in Orange is...
I was about to say, though, it worked because it was all part of the play. I recall one fight against the Flyers, particularly, he did it on purpose to get a rise out of them, and that's exactly what he did it for. And then when they went to fight, he was like, I don't want to fight.
What are you talking about?
Ty Domi.
Okay.
A bunch of penalty minutes
that
called against the Flyers.
That pretty much applies to every agitator in the league.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's what they're there for.
Yeah.
I just have something. It's not, I'm not biased like that. I don't know why you keep saying that. I'm not biased like that at all. Who did I slam 2 weeks ago for being a thug? A straight up thug. I didn't go, no, Holtby's a pansy for not fighting back. You should have fought back like other people I know. No, he didn't. Opie was assaulted. Then he laughed, so it probably tickled his little head.
His beautiful little head. His flowing locks.
I wanted to read this live because, I mean, there's nothing much else to it. I just wanted the reaction live because I hadn't seen the hit yet. My main concern was that he kind of just at least try to stop or miss or go for the net. The only other thing I want to say, did you see what's his name? I can never pronounce his name from the Stars. Lehtinen? Am I pronouncing that right, or is that
yes.
The South Jersey pronunciation?
Kari Lehtinen.
Lehtinen, sitting on top of the goal. Did you see that picture yet?
No.
There was a stoppage in play, and he jumped up on the crossbar and was, how did that not fall forward? I know it's in there with magnets and stuff, but you expect a big hockey player wearing pads, shoulder pads, all kinds of stuff. You expect the net to just go, yeah.
I think it's more well-balanced
He was balanced. If you go to the Puck Daddy on Yahoo, it's on the first page. He's just chilling like a bird on a perch. Hey, what's up?
Just happy not to be in Atlanta.
Isn't everybody happy now?
I think
I'm sure.
Pretty sure everybody in Winnipeg's happy.
When the Flames went to Calgary, they were like, yes! Yes, it's not Atlanta! Woohoo! I'm going to copy the next story. Again, I'm going to put it on Twitter, but I'm going to read it word for word because it's not a long story. About Brian Berard and the word persistent and not to steal money from. Apparently, he brought helped bring down two guys that were trying to con money out of him, who had apparently conned money out of other guys. Oh, I love this internet. There we go. So basically, I'm just going to read it like this. It's not uncommon to hear stories of referees bilked out of their savings by greedy, whatever that is word is, con man. What is that word? Don't say the. I'll smack you. What is that word?
I can't say it now.
Duplicitous? That's not the word.
So it's amiable.
No, that's a different show. So it's amiable. He's amiable and so amiable.
It's amiable.
Amiable. What is that word? Duplicitous? Forget it. You're not going to help me. I asked you to do it twice.
I can't now. If you're going to read a story, you might want to read through it first.
I did. I read it twice, and I'm like, I still don't get the word.
Duplicious.
That's it. I knew that.
Yeah, you did.
These days, after you. These days. Here's a tip for aspiring conmen. If you're going to go after retirees, do not target former first overall draft pick Brian Berard. Yes, he is technically a retiree after ending his NHL career in the 07-08 season with the Islanders, but he's only 36, so he's still sharp. Furthermore, this is a guy who battled his way back from a gruesome eye injury. I don't know what that is. Retinal tear and a detached retina. He had 7 operations to overcome it, and instead of retiring, he went back on the ice. So, in a word, he's persistent.
Yeah, you don't have to read all this stuff. Let's get to what happened.
So, authorities arrested Phil Kenner and Tommy Constantine, the latter of whom once served as a financial advisor for the likes of Mark Messier and NSYNC. I guess that's on the same level, Mark Messier and a boy band.
Don't you speak ill of Mark Messier.
I'm talking about NSYNC. They were arrested just outside of Phoenix for a massive fraud scheme that bilked as many as 25 hockey players out of $15 million. One of the players was him, Berard, and he was integral in catching these guys. If we get to it, I didn't see you doing anything before the show.
I was sleeping.
Yes, exactly. I was doing all this by myself.
No, I just love internet journalism. So it's just a bunch of garbage.
Stop pasting it together. And I'm trying to get to the point.
Copy and pasted something.
I don't know how Preston does it. You know what he does? He prints it out and highlights everything. And I didn't feel like printing out, and I don't have a highlighter. Okay? He cooperated with the FBI, exposing one of the many extensive con jobs in history. Basically, he worked hand-in-hand with the FBI getting this guy money back. They tricked 24 other people until they got to Berard. And then they got busted. $15 million they stole from these guys. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
So would you like to actually tell people what they did?
No, I want you to help me here is what I'm saying. I'm about ready to shut it off in a minute.
So Berard lost at least $3 million, and maybe as much as $6 million, in forged lines of credit, worthless real estate deals, and bad investments in a tech startup, a video game company, and a shoulder pad company.
Shoulder pads.
Yeah.
If you're going to start a business, I'd start it in shoulder pads.
Yeah, I
guess
so. There's
not enough shoulder pads.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it's sporting shoulder pads.
I would hope so, because any other kind of shoulder pads haven't
shoulder
been
pads
hit
make
since,
suits,
like,
mean.
The early, or well, the late 80s, so.
What did he say? I never made any money from any of it. Now I can move on to my next career knowing he will be held responsible for what he's done. Now, I know the name Berard, but was he a particularly good player?
Oh,
I know the name.
Yes, he was a good defenseman. He was a very, I think they said he was a pretty high draft pick, and he was one of those guys who would, he was another one, and they were going to rebuild the Islanders.
He
was one of those cornerstones, DiPietro. They were going to build the new dynasty, and it never really happened. Not because Berard was not a good player. He was fine. They didn't have a great team, and then he got that injury was horrific.
I was going to say.
It was along the lines of what Pronger went through.
I have to assume that coming back with one eye, one good eye, it's hard to play hockey on one eye. Your peripherals off, whatever that word is I just tried to say, peripheral. You can't see anybody on this side coming at you. I mean, it's kudos for him kind of come back.
Well, Mal Helchuk is back up in the NHL this season.
Explain.
He went out with an eye injury 2 seasons ago.
How bad was it?
I don't believe it was as severe as Berard, but a similar type of injury that he took a stick. I believe it was a stick and not a puck to the eye, and it did severe damage to the orbital bone and the eye itself. But he's making a go of it.
I just think it's funny that these guys thought they could rob these guys blind, no pun intended, and then they just came to the wrong guy.
Well, it sounds like they had him. He was just the one guy was willing to admit that, hey, maybe someone did dupe me, and I'd like to do something about it.
Now, I know you're going to laugh again. I'm going to try to remember the guy that extorted the NHL years ago. He used to represent the players, and they nailed him for it. Canadian.
That narrows it.
That does narrow it down because it's in the it's in the hockey DVD. Oh, I forget his name. Michelson or something. No, I'm going to look this up because I forgot his name again. Mm-hmm. I did my research and then I forgot his name. The guy with the glasses.
Once again, that really narrows down the player's reps.
Yeah. But he was taking money from retired players.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, chunks, like 10 grand here, 25 grand here. And finally, it was like one of the players was like, hey, wait a minute. Excuse me. Where's all my retirement money? He was left with nothing. He was a defenseman, a retired defenseman from the Bruins, I believe. And he finally got busted, and he's in jail. Did a lot of jail time.
In Canada?
You think so. Is there jail in Canada? Or do they just send you, they just strap you up in hockey equipment and shoot pucks at you all day?
I don't think so. I think they actually have a jail system. They got a lot of land, I would assume. They're willing to.
Alan Eagleson! Thank you, Paul Baker!
That was close.
Yes.
The whiny guy who wouldn't let the Russians have the Canada Cup.
Yes, that guy.
That guy. If you had gone with that, I could have told you.
I didn't remember that.
I had no idea. I didn't even remember.
I remember that. I want to thank Paul Baker, who's going to be joining us this next week.
Yes.
To have our first hockey roundtable. I have to get back to him with some points.
Do we have a table?
I have a tray.
Okay, that'll work.
I don't have a table. I have a dinner table.
Okay.
With blue legs.
Well.
It's an odd color.
It's round.
Yeah, whatever.
Hey.
Alan Eagleson. He was with the league for years and decided in his later years that he was going to take all that money. And he got busted clean. And now has no more.
Can't imagine the league ever stealing from the players. It's such a rare
occurrence. I don't know what you're talking about. They're making this, sliding into the next thing, they're making this huge deal about this stadium series. And they want to make it like a billion-dollar sport. And I just don't see how this is going to work. Maybe I'm missing the big picture. I know I've talked about it before. But it's something that bothers me every time I see the 15 chrome logos they got going on with the stupid
I think somebody at the NHL offices bought Photoshop. We need new logos, okay? When do you need them? Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
All right, I can do that for you.
The only thing they did.
Emboss.
Yeah.
Emboss.
Here's the picture.
Emboss and a lens flare. There you go. Merry Christmas.
The lens flare, and they had to download the old Devils logo with the green in it.
No, they didn't. They just put the green on it.
Oh, so they painted it?
No.
And then they just took out this weird New York Islanders logo I've never seen before.
That thing is terrible, and it just leads me to believe that they're completely lying about when the team moves to Brooklyn, keeping the logo and the colors and all that stuff.
Well, you think there's a whole other thing going on?
I guarantee you the people in Brooklyn are like, yeah, we're going to get that team, and then it's going to be ours, and it's going to fit in with the basketball team. Because, you know, it's all about branding.
You mentioned that when they first announced it.
Yes.
And mind you, and I'm glad we have a show now to say this, that was announced with smiling faces and shaking everybody's hands and kissing everybody's ass in the middle of a lockout. Hey, we're moving to Brooklyn. Aren't I cool? My name's Batman. And the first thing you said was, if they think they're moving that team there and they're keeping the Islanders even name at one point, you were like, no.
Oh, it'll stay the Islanders for a little while, but not for long.
You think? I'm kind of hoping they brand it kind of like the Nets.
Oh,
it's
yes,
pretty cool.
I guarantee you.
I like it.
They're going to make it fall in line with the Nets. They're going to be at the Barclays Center. It's their tenants, their team. That's the only reason to do it.
See this billion-dollar arena you're playing in now? You're changing the name. You think they dropped the colors completely, though? I mean, that's something that's been in the NHL since what?
72.
May I remind you of Gortman?
I think we don't want to talk about the brief foray into the Gorton's Fisherman logo, but because that went over. So, you know, when you change that logo, the Islanders fans are totally just no profile. They are just happy to go along with anything like that.
No. I didn't know until we watched the 30 for 30 about that jacket.
Spano
that tried to buy the team. They briefly talked about changes in the past when they tried to change that jersey, and they came out of the woodwork.
They only tried to change it once.
Oh, and it went right back real quick.
And who put it back? The guy who was not really going to be able to buy the team, but the guy who was a fake billionaire was like, no, we're not going to do that. That's stupid.
That's stupid.
So there you go, the brilliance of the NHL.
We're not going to get into that. I was going to say, even though he wasn't a billionaire, so how come somebody didn't back him and buy the team? He has vision, sure.
No one wanted to buy the island.
Oh, I'd buy him. I would.
I know you would, but you don't have any money.
But I wouldn't be the dick that would move him. I'd leave him on New York, and I'd take care of him.
He was gonna do all the right things. He just didn't have any of the money, and nobody checked.
All the right things, like get rid of that Nassau County Coliseum with holes in it.
Well, that's been everyone's plan who's considered buying or has bought the Islanders. It's always been to get out of the mausoleum and get something new built, but. Trying to get anything done on Long Island, you think Chicago is corrupt? You think Jersey is obviously run by the mob? Long Island is that bad as well.
I have a worry about what they're going to do with the Rangers after they just put all these millions of dollars into MSG for, what, the fourth time.
Yeah.
Third or fourth. It's been, they've redone it in the last 10 years, I think three or four times. They put a couple million dollars into, and I'm saying a couple million, I'm talking about $10, $20 million into that building and revamping it, putting new seats in, change it. And now, all right, well, in 2014, you got to leave. I don't know, I'm asking, are they getting rid of that building? Or are they knocking it down, rebuilding it? What are they doing?
I'm not sure. I really don't know. The idea of getting rid of Madison Square Garden is so strange to me. I have no idea.
Hmm.
I mean, because the reason that the Rangers exist was that they were the team that was owned by the people who owned Madison Square Garden. That's why the Brooklyn Americans, the New York Americans, who also played at Madison Square Garden, fell by the wayside, because the Rangers were the corporate team that the ownership group owned, and the Americans were pushed aside. So separating the Rangers from Madison Square Garden is just, it makes no sense to me. I'm sure there's a plan, because I can't imagine how much that property is worth. I mean, because it's in the heart of Manhattan. It's a block. It's got
You don't have to drive to it.
Well, no, but I mean, every train, subway, bus,
part of it.
Yeah, is all right there. It's a hub. So I'm not sure.
I mean, you think, not to mention other tenants there that call that home, i.e. the WWE, that's a building. I've grown up to think that building is never going anywhere. Like certain people are never going to die. Obviously, everybody dies. Eventually, every building comes down.
Well, I mean, Madison Square Garden has moved several times. That's, I believe, the one currently is the fourth Madison Square Garden.
Yes.
So.
That I did read.
Yeah.
There was
one in the early 1800s.
Late 1800s.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4,
it's moved several times. So maybe that's the thinking, that they're going to knock that one down and then they're going to rebuild it or build a new one in another, you know, wide open space in New York, which are so prevalent. I was amazed when the Yankees were able to.
Oh, they moved it right next door. That
yeah,
was a count.
Still, but still, I mean, I'm sure there was something there.
They were literally like, and I think we should move it right there.
Well, there you go.
It's a great, listen, I don't like the Yankees. And I'm sure if any of your family was here, they'd murder me for that one.
Yeah.
But that's an all. I'd love to go to that stadium one day, just say I've been at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
As opposed to Shea Stadium.
No, Shea's gone too.
I know that. That's what I was. I had free tickets to go. Hey, you want to go to the Shea Stadium? I was like, listen, if I wanted to step in dog poop, I'd walk out back with my eyes closed. Same thing with Madison Square Garden. I'd love to go to MSG. You couldn't pay me to go to Nassau County. Could not pay me.
I'd go to Nassau County.
Absolutely not.
Just to see it before it closes.
See ya. Bye-bye. You even went to the Spectrum before it closed, for crying out loud.
Yep.
And that's a lot for you, as much as you hate that team.
I do hate that team.
Mm.
But I wanted to go because I had heard that it was in disrepair and they weren't bothering with it anymore. So I was like, well, that's not a good sign.
Well, did it live up to your expectations of being crappy?
It was pretty crappy.
Where you should go again?
Pretty crappy. Oh, gosh, I was way back.
No, two?
No.
Not pre 99?
Probably about 2000, something like that.
Yeah, around somebody in Philly, even Paul Baker might know, or somebody from Stadium Journal might know, I think around 04, 05, they put a bunch of money into it. For years, it was letter sections. Section A, Section B. Then they changed it to 201, 202, 202. And they put a little bit of money into the concourse and everything. Just to close it, to tear it down. Speaking of costs, this is something I thought was very interesting. I wanted to read and read with you what the NHL is costing you. And I'm not talking about parking. I'm talking about ticket prices and the most important part of a hockey game, if you're in Philly anyway, alcohol.
Mm.
Okay, so, and it lists all the NHL teams, so we're going to stay NHL here. The most expensive ticket being, we're going to start with average ticket price. The most expensive average ticket price, did you already see it?
Yeah.
What would you have guessed before that?
Oh, I know it's Toronto.
Oh, you knew it was Toronto? What would
yeah.
you think it was? Around that number?
Yeah, it's
$122.
It's well over $100. It's demand. there's a waiting list a mile long. You can't get it. You can get tickets, but you're going to pay a premium price for them. I know a couple people in the Toronto area, and yeah, that area could support probably three NHL teams.
I'm just saying, if you're going to charge that much for a ticket, I better not be drinking an $8 beer or drinking a $20 hot dog in Canada. Do they have hot dogs in Canada?
Yes.
At a hockey game? I'm being sarcastic.
Yes.
Oh, they do.
They have $10 Molsons and hot dogs.
They don't. In Toronto, they make up for it a little bit. One of the cheapest in the league, $6.96 for 16-ounce beer.
Well, yeah.
That's for 16 ounces. That's not bad.
Yeah.
I'm going to skip through these, but I want to name the next one down, which surprised me because I thought Montreal would be number one or number two, so I was completely thrown off by this. The Canucks are number two at $91.45 for a ticket, their beer being $7.44. So you're paying for parking. So we'll use Philly as an example. How much is the parking at Verizon Center?
I have no idea because I've never driven to the Verizon Center because it makes no sense.
Because you can drive 10 minutes to we can drive 10 minutes to Springfield, take a train in less than an hour, and walk right into it. Yeah. It's beautiful how that more cities don't do that.
Yeah.
Right into the sports complex. We'll use Philly. Philly's about $25 to park. You're spending $4 to go over the bridge if you're from Jersey. So you add that to the 25, you're already at $30 before you walk in the door. average ticket in Philly, they're number 7 on the list, $71.59. Their beer is $8.25, and it's for a 20 ounce. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, but you should go, if you're going to use this table here, you got to go beer cost per ounce. That's what matters.
42. Well, you're the genius. I just read the numbers.
The Flyers are actually cheaper than a lot of the teams there.
Really?
For the ounce, because you get 20 ounces in Philly.
Are we using the BJ rule, as I call it? The BJ's rule? Excuse me? Not the BJ rule. It's a different rule.
Yes.
The BJ's rule.
You buy in bulk.
So if we look at the BJ's rule, technically, BJ's the warehouse shopping place, people.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Don't use that rule.
If we look at the Costco rule, your team's the cheapest per ounce.
That's not surprising to me.
33.
They have horrible beer at the Verizon Center.
If they don't sell our Stella Artois, I'm really not going to drink it.
Mm-hmm.
Stella Artois? I drink sophisticated beer.
You drink fancy beer.
Do you want a Bud? No, I would like a Stella Artois.
Well, I guarantee you that $8 for 24 ounces is Coors Light. If you want a Stella Artois, it's going to be at least 12, if not 12.
Yeah. Would they even have it?
Probably. On the club level, on the fancier level. They probably have the fancier beers.
Teams like so let's go to the Montreal Canadiens. So this shocked me. I would think that it would be the Toronto level as far as an average ticket. It was only $77. I could go to Canadiens games.
Well, try getting a ticket in Montreal.
Oh, try it. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Montreal also, I'm not sure the difference between capacities there, but Montreal, the Bell Center seats over 20,000. I'm not sure what the Air Canada Center is, but it's not that
I
many.
I only saw that Air Canada was bigger.
No. No, Bell Center, I believe, is the largest arena in the NHL.
And you said it was how much?
Capacity.
Right, I know what you're saying. It does. When you watch it on TV, the hard camera's further away than any other game.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just and our expert, Paul Baker, says it's 25 to park in Washington.
Well, that sounds about right, because they want to discourage that as much as possible, because there's about 12. Well, there's – let me rephrase it. If you're going to drive to D.C., you want to – park on the street, because after a certain point, you can park on the street for free.
Yeah.
You just have to be able to parallel park.
Yeah.
It takes most of the suburban people out of the city, which is a good thing.
And if you go to their ticket, if they go to their beer, it's only $6.26. Now they're also paying 45 cents an ounce.
Yeah, but they're owned by a beer company.
Molson. Molson, eh? Just skip through the list. And, again, follow us on Twitter at Baycott Show. I put the list up there. Or follow me at Nanlo83. I retweeted.
Well, but I think the same. It's the same thing for all the teams. What's the cheapest team?
That's what I was going to. Cheapest team beer or cheapest team ticket?
No, I don't care about beer.
So ticket. Dallas Stars.
Yeah,
$37 a ticket.
That makes sense.
Woo-hoo!
They're trying to rebuild a fan base there.
So there's $6 a beer. It's 38 cents an ounce. And the average fan will spend a beer is 18. So they're drinking about two in a beer.
Yeah, I mean, if you're in Dallas, you're probably drinking quite a bit at the hockey game.
Now,
because you're a dismayed Cowboys fan who doesn't understand what's going on.
Where's the foosball?
Where's
the lines? When do you get a first down?
Where's the foosball?
Where's the blue?
With the guy with the...
Don't get it.
With the other helmet thing.
They're not hitting each other and quitting.
Well, it's like anywhere, though. All these teams, there's a group of diehard fans who, you know, love the sport, you know, since it arrived in town kind of thing. And then the majority of these teams are fighting over the casual fan who only comes to, you know, maybe two games a season.
They do have cool-looking jerseys, though. That's merchandise right there.
I would think. The Dallas redesign was the new logo, the new jerseys are pretty darn sweet. I like the home jersey. The predominantly green jersey is really, really sharp.
I'm not going to argue with it because that's my favorite color.
But you're right. The logo should be a little bit bigger on it. The crest.
I'm what?
You are correct.
That's for the record?
The logo should be a little bit bigger on that jersey, and it would be perfect.
I know you don't care, but I'm going to mention it anyway. The cheapest beer in the league is in our favorite city of Pittsburgh.
Oh, well, that's
$5.
If it's for Iron City, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I'd pay $5 for Iron City. That's some.
Is it bad?
That's some bad beer.
I tell you what.
And now I say that I know several people from Pittsburgh, and I know one truly hardcore beer person from Pittsburgh, and even they say that Iron City is terrible. But it is tradition.
I mean, well, I'm not a beer guy, and it wasn't hockey, but when we went to the Orioles game, what was the beer called? Natty Bo. It smelled good. I was like,
National Bohemian.
I really wanted to try it. I was like, wow, that really smells good. And usually I'm like, I don't beer, that smelled good. And they did it, they were wafting it through the state.
Oh, yeah.
Buy me. You should have seen me the first hour. I'm like, the hell is this thing with a mustache? What the hell is Natty Bo? And I finally was like, what's Natty Bo? It's the beer. Oh, I know that.
And from all that I know about Natty Bo, having never tried it, it too is horrible. But
well, you ruined it for me.
It's traditional in Baltimore. That's what you drink at the game.
That's period.
Yep.
You
went to see the Colts, when you went to see the Orioles, now when you go to see the Ravens,
the Colts,
you drink Natty Bo.
Good reference. Never mind. So the Toronto Maple Leafs are the most expensive. That would make it the most expensive team in hockey to go see, technically, right?
Oh yeah.
So I'm going to ask you. You're smarter. They're saying average ticket. What's that ticket? What is that lower level, or are they?
What
are they charging for the ticket up
the
top?
The average between that's what the average is. There's $500 tickets on the glass, and they're way higher than $500 on the glass. Trust me. And then you know I don't know. There's $40 tickets up in the last row or something like that. So the average between them is what $122 and change.
We keep talking about wanting to go to Toronto, but we ain't going to go see a game.
I can go see it. You can get a ticket. It's going to cost you.
Yeah, that's what
Toronto. The thing you got to know about Toronto is the Toronto fans are so crazy for hockey that about half of the Sabres season ticket holders are Toronto fans. They go over the border they go watch games in Buffalo, and every time the Leafs come to town, it's like a Leafs home game because they can't get tickets for the Leafs. So they go and they support the Sabres, but not when the Leafs come to town.
I might talk half out of turn here, but our friends Vinny and Siobhan, my Liverpudlian friend, they went, I believe it was her first hockey game. Instead of going to a Toronto game, they went to Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
Because why?
Cheaper.
Yeah.
How much was Buffalo? Now that I have the list up, I'm not going to do that again.
These days, it's pretty darn cheap.
Hold on, this will just take a second. Right over Niagara Falls, right? Just drive right over. Simple.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They encourage that, in fact.
I love this. Buffalo is where on this list? Down further? There you are. $47 an average. That's not bad. So you're paying, what, $90 for front row? $100 front row?
You know, front row, you just take front row out.
A hurricane surprised me. I would think they'd be around Dallas level, but apparently they're doing better than Dallas, $53.
That's a very nice arena. I have been to that one.
Carolina?
Yep. Very nice.
When?
2002.
Who was in goal? I'll ask you that.
You know what? I think it might have been Urbe for the Hurricanes and
Urbe.
Jose Theodore for the Canadiens. And I have to say, one of the finest goaltending displays I've ever seen. It was amazing.
Hmm.
And the very next night I went to see the first year. It wasn't the SPHL at that point. It was the ACHL, the Cape Fear Fire Ants. So from the heights of NHL and that skill level to what at the time was barely double A, barely single A hockey, was quite a difference in skill level in less than 24 hours.
I mean, we've seen, like, the tickets, we're going up to Hershey next weekend. I mean, how much was that ticket? And we're talking about, we're on lower level. We're high up on the lower level.
Yeah.
But it was like, what, $47? Not even?
No.
Higher than that? 67.
No. A Hershey 100 level, so the lower level at Hershey is like $23.
That's awesome. That's amazing. For a team that has that kind of, I can't tell, or this is from an outside observer because I have no stock whatsoever in this team. The level of fanaticism, and backing that team has, they can charge that much because they'll always have somebody in that building.
Oh, yeah.
Sell that out. Not to mention you walk a block and a half down, you can go to the Hershey store, buy some candy.
That's
apparently.
Right. Oh, yeah. The factory store.
We're going to have to make a stop.
Okay.
I want some Reese's Pieces.
Yeah. The first couple of times I went, I didn't understand the craving for chocolate that I had, and then it dawned on
Listen,
me slowly.
You can smell it.
It
get out of the car.
Fantastic.
It's not even a lie. It's like a movie. You open. Oh, it smells like chocolate. We must be in Neverland. You know? Oh, before I screw up anymore, because that was a terrible first article, but we picked it up. I need to take a break and go drink something real heavy. I wonder if I have any Stella Artois. This is, in fact, how the magic happens with the Mystery Men on Obey the Puck. And we'll be right back. We'll be right back. That is how the magic happens. You know, this is the week we had the most time to prepare, and I really don't feel that we had enough time to prepare.
There's never enough time.
No, I really thought we worked on this, and I didn't. And I'm like, ah! Once again, follow us on Twitter at Obey the... nope, that's wrong. Follow us on Twitter at Obey Puck Show. Email us at obeypuckshow@comcast.net, or if you're listening right now, call us at 718-664-9133 to chat about anything. Hockey, don't care. Anything hockey-related is fine with me. You mentioned, you wanted to mention the fact that the NHL is starting to take advantage of the day of the week. Like,
yeah.
The NFL has Monday night.
Yeah. So they've built their, I guess they started it last year. I really didn't recognize it from last year, but apparently it started last year with the Wednesday night rivalry games. So they're doing that on the NBC Sports Network Wednesday night. They promote the Wednesday night game all week long, and then they do like a half-hour show before the game about the rivalry for that week. It's interesting. It's funny to see, and a lot of people have made this point, it's funny to see them focus on the rivalry, and then the same people are the ones who bring up the you know, fighting shouldn't be part of the game, and then they're marketing everything around rivalries and what's usually the basis of a rivalry, all the fighting. So, but I do think it's interesting that the NHL is trying to build, you know, kind of a brand one of the days as Hockey Night, which is a really good idea. Of course, they've done it in Canada.
Hockey Night in Canada.
For millennium.
Literally.
And it's worked. So I'm glad that they're actually trying something that seems to make sense.
Just follow the Canadian way of doing it.
Well, yeah.
You know, hello, they've been doing it for 100 years.
But Canada is not America.
It's North America. I don't want to hear that bull crap.
Bettman only cares about the TV.
Really?
The what the hell is it called? The TV ratings, the U.S.
Nielsen ratings.
He wants to be in the biggest cities and get the ratings in the biggest markets. That's it, the TV markets. That's why they keep trying Atlanta. That's the only reason they keep trying Atlanta, is it's the third biggest TV market or fourth or fifth biggest TV market in the U.S. That's the only reason they keep putting teams there, because he is desperate to get ratings out of Atlanta for hockey, which is just not going to happen.
It didn't work in the 70s. It didn't work in the aughts. It's not going to work ever.
Yeah, no.
How many years do you think before there's another team there?
Oh, they'll put another team there as soon as as soon as they can get a crazy person to buy a team again, they'll go. You're going to buy a team?
You want to take a loan out real quick?
No, I really don't want to put a team in Atlanta. I've been to Atlanta. I don't want to go to Atlanta.
You have billions of dollars. Where do you put a team?
Quebec City.
Man, you just adored yourself to all the Canadians that listen to this show.
Any Canadian city, I would put a team.
Would they be the Nordiques?
Possibly. I'd put it up to a popular vote. I love the Nordiques jerseys. The powder blue with the fleur-de-lis. Awesome.
Okay.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Even the dark blue those are great jerseys. So, yeah, if I had infinite funds, I would put a team in Quebec City and just let the cash roll in.
You wouldn't go the way they were going to go, and they were going to rebrand the Nordiques that next year with the wolf?
Oh, with the wolf thing?
Yeah.
No.
Which is a Nordique, I guess?
I like the logo, but I like the traditional Quebec Nordiques.
You could keep the fleur-de-lis in there, though.
Yeah, but I don't know. I just like the old school, the stylized N with the hockey stick. Yeah,
it is pretty.
That's pretty cool.
It is pretty straightforward.
You can put the wolf idea up on the shoulder or something like that.
It is pretty straightforward, though. But you're right about the Wednesday night rivalry thing. I mean, they're building it. I mean, this on Thanksgiving, it's Boston and New York. Well, they always play the hardest hockey against each other. Somebody's going to go down in a fight. Somebody's going to run into the goalie. They play their hardest hockey, those two teams.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking about two original sixes right there.
anytime you get those two teams together, you hope a shoe comes out and there's a beating.
You leave him alone. He doesn't like fighting.
He doesn't like anything that he's not involved in.
Mike Milbury, I'm talking about you. Next time you have something nice to say about a fight, ask him if the shoe fits. Which I think it's great. I think it's great that a guy tried to hit him, kick him, he grabbed his shoe, and he started beating him with it.
Having been at a Rangers game, I can understand being a visiting team and just wanting to beat someone with a shoe from Madison Square Garden who's probably been ragging on you the entire night.
Oh, yeah.
I understand the frustration. It's not okay, but I understand it.
This is going to segue into our next discussion, but it's like when Schultz, it's in this list, and I can't remember who he fought, but it was Toronto against that lower glass. And the fan just started grabbing him.
Oh, yeah.
And the other players were going like this with their thing, like, get off him! To the point where he stopped punching the other guy because he was just grabbing onto the grass and trying to block. He started kneeing the guy because he was trying to sweat off the other guy. I mean, they're marketing something over... All these talks about stopping fighting, no, I don't want to hear it. I'll stop watching. I will stop watching hockey. I'm sorry. If they get rid of the fighting. Now, they're trying...
Even if they get... It's not like they're going to... Even if they pass the rule tomorrow, hey, you can't fight, you're not going to stop actual fights in hockey. Because
right.
You have a game where these guys are going full speed at each other, and they have sticks. There's going to be fights. You know, the question is whether or not if there's a fight automatically, you're suspended for 10 games or something, whatever it may be. So you're not going to – fighting's not going to disappear from hockey.
It's stupid that they're talking about it. It's all because of on November 1st, the line brawl between the Caps and the Flyers where Emery acted like a total douche canoe and started beating – yes, I said douche canoe. I saw the look on your face when I – and started, I will back up the orange and black to the death if they don't do something stupid. And what he did was stupid. And because of one dude who should have been, I don't care, the rule book states that he technically didn't do anything wrong. He beat the crap out of a guy who was jumped. He was jumped.
That's not the reason that they're talking about getting rid of fighting. That debate was going on before that fight, and that was just another thing to throw on the fire.
I'll make a condition. You get rid of fighting, you get rid of the trapezoid.
I don't know. That's a tempting trade.
Tough.
That's a tempting trade.
Let the goalie get in play, pal. Oops, I hit Brodeur. He's on his ass. Well, oh well. He wanted to play the puck. They're also trying to discuss the shootout thing. They're going to try to modify that. Either lengthen it or put more people on the ice during shootout.
Oh, good. That's great.
How about you go back to the way it was?
Can we just have ties again?
You either, just go to a tie.
It's okay.
I'm so tired of seeing two teams work their asses off for an hour, and then you decide to have – I'm sorry, an hour and 5 minutes, and then you decide to have a skills competition at the end of the game. You're an idiot, Batman. You are an idiot. And whoever made that decision with you and said, that's a good idea, he's an idiot. And if he happened to be somebody that used to be on the Flyer, you're an idiot. It's stupid. And that is how I really feel.
I wasn't sure there.
Shut up.
You were kind of unclear for a second. I don't think there's that many old school hockey fans who like the shootout.
Oh, my God. You're talking to one of my fondest memories of hockey, and I know it was in the playoffs and it doesn't apply, but technically it does. Is staying up and watching that overtime game against Pittsburgh and Philly until 2:15 in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? Seven overtimes?
Wow. It's like cause you're – when I was young –
When I was young, was it five or
six? Uphill both ways.
Without shoes.
It was five overtimes.
What did I say, seven?
Seven.
I didn't mean to say seven.
Yeah, but you did.
7 hours.
It probably was.
It was 7 hours. I meant 6 or 7 hours of TV, and it finally ended. That was fulfilling, but we don't have a shootout. You wanted to mention something before we get into more of this rivalry discussion.
Well, I read today that the Reading Royals are going to be put up for sale. Now, that's the defending ECHL champion.
They're Caps affiliates.
Yeah.
I just thought of that.
They're Caps affiliates this year. Last year was the first year that they were Caps affiliates. The team came into the league. They were a Kings affiliate. That was part of the cool. The Kings branded their team.
Monarchs,
Royals. Yeah, they had the Manchester Monarchs, and they still do. And then they had the Reading Royals. So the defending champs of the ECHL are going to be on the market if they are not officially on the market already. But that the team is owned by the county that they play in, like the parks and rec and parks part of the county, and a Philly investment or management firm, SMG.
Really?
That
I did not
like
know that.
All kinds, because SMG owns the actual arena, which they own a lot of arenas. But I found that interesting. And unfortunately, reading the article, they said that the attendance in Reading has declined every year. They've been there 13 years now. So I thought that was very interesting.
I was going to say, because that's a name I've heard even since I was younger, the Reading Royals. It's just that when you mention it, I'm like, oh, I know that team. The reason why I remember they were Caps affiliates was that jersey they came out with in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, they wore a hideous Capitals-themed jersey that worked for them. It became their lucky jersey, so they were wearing that throughout the playoffs.
I'll say, whatever works.
But the good news is that they want to keep the team in Reading. They want to keep, they want to keep the arena there because that's one of my favorite arenas. So I'd like to – well, it's one of those things – I have a problem, it happens in the NHL a lot, when teams or cities, well, usually it's the NHL or the team, is demanding a new arena. I have a problem with making taxpayers pay for arenas and that kind of thing. So that's something I'd like to talk to Paul Baker about.
He'll be on the show.
He'll be on the
next
show.
Week.
He'll be on the show next week. I'd like to get his thoughts on that. It's happened several times. In the NHL, Minnesota, Quebec, the NHL demanded, luxury boxes and a new arena. And when the cities were like, no, we can't do that, those teams were taken away. So I'd like to have a discussion about that.
You know, I'm very interested to see what Paul would say about that, because that's been my problem recently as far as any league, NHL, LHL. So let's be in hockey league. AHL, any league, we always talk about why these arenas. The Spectrum had, even though it looked drab, it looked like it was paneling. It had a unique look to the outside. The Capital Center had a unique look to it on the outside.
Yeah, it looked like a Pringle.
It did, but it was unique.
With strings on it.
And as much as I hate the team, the Igloo looked awesome. Like, well, it was. It was a domed arena. The dome actually worked on that arena at one point, folks. You had all these unique-looking structures, and now you just basically take a frame and stick it in a city somewhere. And why is that? Luxury boxes.
Well, yeah.
Money. I know I shouldn't be surprised. Well, money makes the world go around. It just, it's so upsetting to see it that way. But Winnipeg, wasn't the original fights where you have to have a bigger arena?
Well, that's why they didn't want to go to Winnipeg, was because the MTS Center doesn't really have luxury boxes, and it seats, I believe, like 15,000, maybe not that many, which is very small for an NHL arena, although... The Barclays Center in Brooklyn seats about that many and was not made for hockey, and they're moving a team there with all smiles and...
I didn't know that.
Everybody's grinning and ready to go.
Is it that small?
It is. It's very small.
I didn't know
not
that.
Not very. It's in...
Compared?
In comparison to other NHL arenas, yeah. It's tiny, and it's not made for hockey, so they're going to actually have to take out some seats to fit the rink in.
I did not know that. I thought that that would be state-of-the-art either way, based on the fact that they've been talking about moving the Islanders for years.
Oh, there's been talk about moving the Islanders, but there wasn't actual talk.
Listen, if I'm planning it, I'm thinking about, well, they're talking about moving hockey. Maybe I should do this. I did not know that. And that looks massive. You're right. And I saw, so basketball, the Barclays Center holds 17,732.
Oh, 17, okay.
Hockey, it will only hold 15.
Okay, so that's what it is. Yeah, because, I mean, well, I didn't realize that until I went to an actual basketball game, how tiny
a basketball court
is compared to an ice rink.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, wow, I had no idea that it was so much smaller. But, yeah, so.
Okay, well, basketball.
So they were all smiling and backslapping to move into Brooklyn, and moving to Winnipeg was this huge failure, and you know, people of Winnipeg, if you don't buy every ticket every night, I'm going to take this team again, kind of thing.
They were like that.
Oh, yeah. Bettman,
and they sell out every night, though.
Bettman was a jerk about Winnipeg, and like it was ever going to be a problem in Winnipeg that they weren't going to sell tickets. But, yeah, very interesting. But, it once again, TV market. Brooklyn is in the biggest TV market in the U.S.,
I thought Atlanta was the biggest market. New York's the biggest market?
No, New York is the biggest.
Second is Atlanta.
L.A.
L.A.?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
And then 3, 4, and 5 is probably Chicago, Dallas.
Philly. Philly's like bottom 10, right?
Philly's probably top 10. But Atlanta, I want to say, is in the top 5. That's why it keeps coming around.
Is there any TV market other than Atlanta that he should put a team in? It's on that list? Are they all covered?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I think they're covered.
Should do research for that for the next show.
I mean, the only other place to put like a hockey team would probably be the true, you know, the Midwest or the West, but there's not enough population there, or at least there's not enough people there to, in theory, support an NHL team.
What, they just sort of see the Kansas Chiefs.
Kansas City?
Yeah.
Kansas City is still looking for a team, I think.
Do it. Oh, that'd be so awesome. we're sticking with the Kansas City. We're cool.
It was going to be the Penguins.
Yeah, that's right. That big, huge fan base that keeps that team alive. And how many years is that? 3, 4?
Oh, pre-Crosby, so
it's
before
4, 5, or 6.
2005, 2006.
Man, what a shame. We could have lost it. Anywho, speaking of rivalry, speaking of Wednesday night rivalry, you're playing the Penguins this week.
Yep.
Battle for first.
Yeah.
They're not that great. If Malkin and Crosby can be covered by Sean Couturier, you guys got this.
He owned
that son of a gun.
You don't understand the Caps at home against the Penguins.
Well, they suck.
They never seem to show up.
You said, and I will quote you, last night, that game was the best game you've seen them play in years.
Oh, yeah.
Period.
Yeah, against
quote unquote.
The Caps played a great game last night.
They better take. Sorry, go ahead.
If they could do that somewhat consistently, it wouldn't be endlessly frustrating to be a Caps fan.
What if it was this? What if this was that moment they wake up?
Yeah, but it's not.
What if it is?
Well, then that would be nice.
They're battling for first.
I
missed my team sucks as much as yours does.
Well, yeah, they've hit a hot streak. They're playing a little bit better, but the problems are still there. For Caps fans at this point, the only thing that matters is the playoffs. And I haven't seen anything from this team that says, oh, yeah, it's going to be different when the playoffs roll around. We still have no real defense. We seem to fold at the slightest adversity. And, you know, there's no shootouts in the playoffs. We're really good at shootouts this year for some reason, which we've never really been before. But you don't want a bunch of games going to overtime if you're a Caps fan in the playoffs, because it just usually does not end well.
Yeah. We touched a lot about rivalry better than I thought we would, so I'm going to skim this list because we are in overtime and I don't want to go very long with this show. because we could save stuff for next week. This has been out for a while, so I don't want to save this for next week. But SportsIllustrated.com put out the correct term for this list is the 50 landmark hockey fights in history. You roll your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Explain.
The roll of the eyes is about Sports Illustrated hockey coverage.
Well, I mean, I could roll my eyes to anything other than TSN or...
Yeah,
the hockey coverage in America is a joke.
That,
period.
I'm sure this isn't, well, obviously this part, it's not actually in the magazine. It's,
oh, no, God,
they
no.
put it together to no. capitalize on the Emery incident and that kind of stuff, so whatever.
Hey, they put it at number 45.
Yeah.
The Emery fight.
It wasn't a fight, but...
What? No, it wasn't. It was a frigging mugging slash robbery. The only thing different is he didn't take his wallet. Because that's what that was. It's like short. It's like street camera footage of somebody getting beat up. Worst fight you've ever seen. Let me rephrase that. That's the wrong question. Worst fight could be like Alexander Semin trying to fight somebody.
That was the worst one I've seen.
The most brutal or landmark fight you've ever seen, TV or otherwise. And even if we don't know who this person is, go through the thoughts in your head.
Well, the most brutal one I've ever seen was the Trevor Senn Ken Tasker fight.
Trevor Senn.
Was that? That's just, you can find that clip.
Look that name up, folks.
Yeah, go to YouTube and look that one up, because that is brutal. In person, you know, there were so many fights in those Richmond Hampton Roads games that I went to, I couldn't pick out a single one. There were multiple brawls that went to, you know, that there were goalie fights and both goaltenders were thrown out and there was nobody on the bench to finish the game. They're constantly like that, so I can't really pick anything out.
First one that comes up, Ken Tasker, Trevor Senn. I'm going to put it on the...
Tasker.
What did I say, Tasker?
Tasker.
I'm just a mess tonight. I don't even know why I showed up. Anyway. I'm putting that on the YouTube because I've seen this. We talked about this before. All right, so on as far as the NHL, what's the best one you've seen? I'm not trying to press you. I'm just picking your brain.
I enjoy a fight, but I don't really remember them. Like, I mean, I know that there are, you know, the hockey fight guys can give you names, numbers, how many minutes, how many punches were thrown, and I'm just kind of like, I enjoy them at the moment. When there's two, you know, willing participants, but I can't really think of one.
I'll tell you, Buddy Kolzig's been in a couple.
Oh, yeah.
One of my favorites, and it's on the list, number 10, I think it should have been higher up the list, is the, we talked about this the other day in private, I didn't know they called it this, but it was the Roerdijksen versus Canadians in the early 80s, the Good Friday Massacre. Holy crap.
Yeah, that's some bad
news. Oh, man. So you get French Canadians against French Canadians. I think it was 252 penalty minutes.
Yeah.
And it was, there wasn't a bad fight in the bunch. There was no pushing and shoving.
Oh, no.
It was two dudes, and there's at least 10 or 12 people punching each other, making contact. There wasn't no, in this fight I'm going to mention that, John LeCair going, no, stop, don't go over there. The only other footage other than what I thought should have been number one, and I'll explain that in a second, is the Milbury thing. We've referenced it three times.
Oh, yeah.
But when these guys go out into the stands and start fighting fans, and one of these guys, I think one of them tries to kick him, or he goes down and he's kicking up at him, he grabs his shoe, and Mike starts beating this dude with his shoe. Awesome. As much as he's like, rare Friday, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, beat a dude with a shoe. Awesome. I feel, and there might be, I'm sure in like the 50s and the 60s or maybe even the 40s, there's probably better fights than this that we don't even have footage of.
There were manly men.
Yeah, men with no helmets.
With the mustaches that curled.
Bob Banana called the game.
Bob Banana.
The two men are fighting each other right now, and they're swinging their fists. Who's going to throw the first punch?
Exactly.
Is it going to be Gordie Howe or Mike Smith? This was number 7 on the list, but I would have put it at number 1 purely based on penalty minutes. It was...
No, it should be number 1 based on the flying leap over the pile of humanity.
Senators Flyers on March 5th, 2004. Now, this was lockout time, and you would have thought this would have boosted ratings, but this still holds the record for penalties in a single game at 419 minutes. And I'm talking about, it's 7-2 or something? I don't remember the score of the game, but there's a minute and 35 left in the game. And it took 15 minutes to end it. 15 minutes to go through a minute 35. He threw an elbow at Brashear, which is one of your buddies. And we could do a whole podcast on that guy, on his upbringing and why he's such a tough son of a gun. And that was it. They cleaned it up, went back to the faceoff, fight broke out. Cleaned it up, went back to the faceoff, played for about 30 seconds, another fight broke out. And by the time the fight was over, there was 5 guys on the Flyers bench and 6 or 7 on the Senators bench. Everybody was gone. That is one of the greatest fights I've ever seen. Sans leap. And my friend Dean, who we talked extensively about the Holt B. Emery thing, if you want to see two goalies really fight, like gentlemen, quote-unquote, watch this fight, because Esch kind of is pulling at one of the other guys for the Flyers, and I really wish I could remember who the goaltender was at the time. Do you remember?
In Ottawa? No.
say Smith or Jones. He skates down. You want to go? Sure. Fight each other. End of story. No problem. So looked at it. I have it on the Twitter, the top 50 landmark fights in hockey. I think it's going to do it for this train wreck of an episode. It wasn't really a train wreck. The first 10 minutes, I couldn't find the information I was looking for.
Is that one article?
That one article, really, I hold grudges, and right now I'm holding a grudge against myself. That really pissed me off. Follow us on Twitter at Obey Puck Show. Email us at obeypuckshow@comcast.net for any comments or questions you have, like what I'm wearing right now.
Moo moo.
Hey, shh. That's cool.
Oh.
Tell them.
Oh.
That email, find out.
Oh.
Don't give them an image.
Okay.
You might like that name, might not. Don't forget to listen to Moose Knuckle Radio every other Tuesday night at 9:30 p.m. And, of course, the flagship of this network, the Hell in a Cell Talk Radio, MMA and pro wrestling news every Wednesday at 9, and also after midnight every fourth weekend. You're Kelly.
Join us next week.
Paul Baker.
Paul Baker is going to be with us to talk
at PuckmanRI on Twitter.
And stadiums and stuff.
And stuff hockey. And stuff and hockey.
Yeah.
And sticks and pucks.
It'll be good.
It'll be good. He's intelligent, and I'm glad we found him so we can actually have our version of the roundtable. As Dean calls, I forget what he called it. I was calling it getting in the rink. On the ice, in the rink.
In the rink.
Ice rink.
Okay.
In the arena.
That's the name of the segment?
No, Dean knows it. I forget.
Ah, I see.
If I don't come with it, I didn't care. For Kelly, the angry spatula.
Yes.
I am, I guess, Dan. Hey, we'll see you next week at 9, Monday night, folks. Have a good night.